Now, we have this morning just a wonderful privilege of having our very dear friend Hayden Stewart, share a very, very powerful testimony. Now, for some of you who won't know, Hayden had a very serious head injury how many years ago now? 4.5 years ago. Not far away, in roughly a couple of months' time, it'll be, yeah, because it was over the Christmas period, and was not expected to live the helicopter flight from where the accident happened to hospital. As the story unfolds, I believe you will capture something of the incredible miracle that has actually taken place in his life, and has taken place in his family's life. And the purpose of this testimony this morning is to give you a glimpse into the nature and the character of God himself. Amen. And so I want to give a great big welcome to Hayden. And God bless you, Hayden. Come on up, mate. And just take it away. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, just take it away. Yeah, she's all yours.
Thank you. Bless you, buddy. Top man. Thank you. Oh, first of all, just want to say thank you to Wes and Janet for giving me the opportunity to share my story this morning. I treat it as an absolute honour to share my story at my home church. Yeah, it's amazing. And another just a wee, it's not a housekeeping thing, it's just something that I wanted to say before I start. I was going to sort of go and ask, say to people individually, but there were so many people that were praying for me. It was about 4.5 years ago, the 16th of January, 12th of January 2016, I think it was. Some of you here were part of that prayer network, and at that point in time, I wanted absolutely nothing to do with Jesus, didn't believe he existed. Brief background, but there's absolutely no way you would have got me into church. Absolutely no way. And the people in this house dedicated time, hours and hours and hours and hours on their knees for hours on end. And if you guys didn't partner in that prayer, there's no way. There's no way I'd still be here. So anyway, we better get this thing on the road. Oh dear. Don't you hate it when the old eyes start leaking on you? It's a plumbing issue. I'm seeing a bloke about it on Monday. Oh dear. Rightio. How do we? Oh, sorry, to this one? Oh, yeah, right. I don't point towards the TV. That shows you how well-equipped I am. Is that right? Fantastic. Yeah, that's exceptional. Yeah, you beauty. Well, anyway, how's everyone going this morning anyway? Are you fitting well? You're awfully quiet. Are you fitting well? Hey, here we go. Oh, dear. Oh, we got a light on there now. I shall point at you guys. That's right. Oh, here we go.
Hello. Sorry, we're in a very bad reception area.
Oh, that's okay. Just to confirm, sorry, he's bucked off the wall.
Yes.
Okay. Are you with him now?
Yes.
Is he awake?
Is he awake? No.
Just out chasing the elusive fish around. Something I've actually done a few of it since my accident. Really got into my fishing and just being out enjoying God's creation and just being thankful for where he's brought me from, really.
Oh, she's a bit chilly this morning.
Far out. Oh, heck. Stoned the crows and kicked the neighbour's cat. Sorting the old cooker out. Boil some hot water to make a brew. That's gonna be the go.
And we look in there. How's that going to spin your prop? Oh.
Grew up in Christchurch. Well, family's originally from down south in New Zealand. Mum, Dad, they've always had a very strong faith. Basically put that through us kids when we're in high school. And then your mum always prayed for us kids, even with our safety, with whatever we've been doing in life.
Hayden has always been a very vivacious, fun person. He's been totally fearless and would talk to anybody, go anywhere, do anything. Just always had a lot of vibrancy of life.
I had to go to church as kids, and then once I was hit sort of puberty in high school and sort of, I thought, gee, this Christianity business isn't for me. I was never a bad person, but definitely, there's no way you would have got me in a church. I was more sort of living for the weekends, just probably like 80 to 90% of young fellas. Finish the working week, look forward to a Friday night or a Saturday night at the pub, a few beers, having a good time with the guys, heading away hunting for the weekends, doing whatever, just chasing fun, I suppose. Now, I've always been a bit of an adrenaline sort of chasing sort of a bloke. I sort of heard about this bull riding, and I guess it really excited me, the fact that, you know, you come out of the chutes and that bull might give you his best buck, sort of second or third buck into it. He might throw you a curveball and you'd respond with your best spur to the ribs. That really excited me. And I thought, heck yeah, I want to give this thing a bit of a nudge. It sounds pretty exciting.
It's a bit of a mixed emotion thing being back in the arena, really. I mean, I can't remember anything that night of the accident, let alone like riding in New Zealand. I remember riding when I was in Australia, and bucking a few bulls out over there, but it's sort of like I do miss it. I miss it a lot. Went over to Australia, I was contract mustering cattle for a couple of years. And in amongst that, we'd go to radios for fun, and we were sort of encouraged to get on some sort of rough stock. So I got into bull riding over there, just got on a couple of bulls over there, and just loved the adrenaline rush. When I got back here, I thought I'd try and give it a serious crack. Went to a practice night after a day of work. I rode my first bull really well, and it was actually the last ride of the night, and they sort of said, oh, you know, last bull, cut up the chutes if anyone wants to jump on it. And me being keen as mustard, I thought, yeah, heck yeah, it's got me all over it. And yeah, famous last words, ball came out of the chutes, got winded, lost control of my body. And then as he kicked up, I was going forward. And then as he was coming back up again for another rear, we collided skulls and I was knocked out before I hit the ground. Everybody piled from out of the arena into the arena, formed a human circle around me because all wasn't moving. And called the ambulance, and I then get a chopper in to pick me up. They radioed through to call the immediate family and call the coroner because I didn't think I was going to make it.
Is he breathing?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Is there any serious bleeding?
Yes.
Okay, I'm organising help for you now. Stay on the line and I'll tell you exactly what to do next.
Got a call about 10 past 10 to say that he had been airlifted into hospital. We didn't know anything about what had been happening. And we just knew when we got there to the trauma room that they'd taken him straight for x-ray.
When I got to hospital, first of all, they gave me a CAT scan, realised I had a brain bleed and fragments of my skull and lodged in my brain. And friends of ours actually know someone that was in the scanning room that night of the accident. As soon as they read my scan, they said there's no way, it's not humanly possible for this boy to walk out of here alive.
Pete and I looked at each other in the waiting room, and we looked at each other and we said, we're ready to handle this. We knew our faith was strong, we knew we were in a position in our life that we could separate ourselves from our work and we could do what needed to be done.
They sent out the pre-request to people all around the globe, and people were praying for this kid that didn't want to know a God, wasn't really in that market, just wanted to ride bulls and have fun.
Oh, slap there. Oh.
Very quickly overnight, our house filled up. We had a lot of Hayden's friends came and stayed. A couple of girls took over the cooking, and I just said, look, I cannot host anybody. You're most welcome to stay, but I'm at the hospital. And I remember speaking to head doctor in ICU on the Friday morning, 3 days before Hayden came out of his coma. And they just said, look, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. We have to give them a tracheotomy. We're looking at long-term ICU. I'm so sorry, but we can't do any more. And I said, I know, but I'm not listening to that. I said, I'm praying for you, and I know by standing by in faith. Monday morning, he came out of his coma, and he was sitting up in a chair that afternoon, and he was walking.
This way, eh? This way. That's it.
One of the nurses was quite surprised. She said, usually people take two or three steps when they're first learning to walk again. Very rare you'll see someone walk all the way down to the end of the corridor.
Good one, Hayden. Looking up, love.
From my accident, I was in a coma for about 12 days. It was, brain surgery was for about five and a half hours. And then I was only in hospital, ward 28, for 2 days. And they were short on beds, so I went to Laura Ferguson. In which case, I was there for like 9 months before I was allowed to go home.
The first 2 months, there wasn't a day that went by that I did not want to be here. Like, I would not have trusted myself to go hunting by myself. I was in a very dark place. The rug of life had just been ripped out from underneath me. I'd gone from potentially staring down the barrel of a professional bull riding career, and now I'm living back at home with my parents. I can't even cook a meal by myself. I'm thinking life couldn't get any worse. And I remember one night, it was dark, nobody was around, and I cried out to Jesus. I thought, I don't know anybody here, I don't know where I am, what's going on. Please help me, God, if you're real, please help me. I remember looking back up, and I saw this bloke at the end of my bed holding my feet. He had very dark facial features and hair to about his shoulders, and he was wearing a fluorescent white cloak. And all he said was, I've got you, Hayden, you're not going anywhere. And from there, my life has changed dramatically.
We couldn't see our way forward at that stage.
No.
We just need to take it one day at a time.
Mm.
Not overthinking it and just relying on God to show us the next step.
Mm.
And he's done it all the way through.
It's very reassuring to know that I've got a mum that's always prayed for me. Whether she knows I've been in times of trouble or not, but she's just always diligently prayed. She's just been an absolute warrior for us kids in the spirit. And especially for me, since my accident, she's just been incredibly diligent, and there's no way I'd be where I am in my recovery without her prayer life.
When looking at photos and videos and that of me in hospital, it's a reminder of where I've come from and how thankful I am to have the Lord in my life and where he's brought me from and where I could be without his help.
So for me now, if I ever see bulls in a paddock or livestock, I've got certainly got a lot more respect for them, especially the ones that have been trained for rodeo. They're bovine athletes. They really are. And basically when that chute gate opens, they've just got a job to do. They don't want to hurt anybody. A lot of respect for them now for what they can do and how powerful they are.
Oh, that's good. Oh, that's right. Is that... Oh, she's done another knot on us. Why is it doing that? It's actually done quite a good one. The one knot you don't want to do on the riverbank, especially when your hands are cold. Could be worse, I mean, at least it's not a cold morning.
Praise the Lord.
A lot of the fishing guys I used to ride with, they've all said, oh, you know, heck, you're so lucky, you know. And I guess one way of looking at it, but like luck, in my opinion, luck would have been if I fell off the ball that night and both of his feet were planted either side of my head. That would have been luck. But medically speaking, I should have died that night because I got half my skull caved in, and I didn't. And the only reason why is because there were lots of people praying and the Lord reached out and saved my life. Otherwise, there's no way I'd still be here.
Did I get the right box at Tom? Sorry. Yeah, here we go. So this was, did I go forward there? No, sorry. This is fantastic. This is awesome. Next one. There we go. There we go. Right into it. Sorry about that. When I got out of my, basically got out of my coma and was in rehab, this is that Laura Ferguson, the rehab clinic, and these three young girls turned up. What I didn't realise, you guys might have just caught on that wee bit there when I was playing the harmonica around that pond. And we were briefly talking about it. Basically, what happened there, we were trying to reenact it a wee bit. What happened, I thought this happened in real life, but it didn't. It can't have done. All I remember is I'm walking around this pond one day, and I see across the other side of this pond, I see my granddad there spotting trout. He was a real keen fisherman. I'm thinking, gee, granddad's travelled a long way because I used to walk around the pond at Laura Ferguson quite a lot. And I saw him there. I was thinking, oh, he's come up from down south. So I went round to see him, forgetting that he had died. And went round to see him. But the first thing he said to me was, Hayden, what are you doing here? As in, like, you're in my place sort of thing. Anyway, I didn't really think much of it. We sat down on this park bench. It was just like a normal day, except when we caught up, granddad had, he was only about 30-odd when I caught up with him. That day, there was a really bright light behind him. And basically, we came back to real life, after I played Amazing Grace with him in heaven. I played it on my harmonica and he played on his fiddle. And then came back to, was quite incredible actually, because before my accident, I was always that guy that would, when the band would finish, I'd get up with the band and play some pub songs on the harmonica because I knew them off by heart. Never played Amazing Grace, and then I'd come out of my coma and the only song I could play off by heart was Amazing Grace. I'm thinking, oh, this is an absolute stitch up. You know, it was a pretty hard case. So we're in heaven there. Well, I didn't realise I was in heaven. Played Amazing Grace with Granddad. And then these three young girls turned up to play some songs for us because I knew a lady there from Motueka who had been in and she'd been in a serious car accident, so they had played some songs for us. And one of them had a fiddle there. And I'm thinking, gee, I've, you know, played Amazing Grace with anyone since Granddad died, forgetting that he died. And I said, oh, you know, you girls wouldn't know Amazing Grace in that thing, would you? She goes, yeah. So we started playing Amazing Grace, and I had goosebumps all down my spine. I was like, this is absolutely incredible. And anyway, that was right. And I finished playing. I said that to her, and she said, what did you say your granddad's name was? I said, oh, his name was Campbell Stewart, but yeah, you girls won't know him because, you know, you girls are from up north and pretty much you weren't alive when he left Earth to go to heaven. Yes, there's no way you'll know him. She said, what? Campbell Stewart. I said, yes. No joke, she turned her violin over and it had his initials on the back of it. You can see. I'm thinking, like, that's like far out. That's out the gate, you know. I'll play it for you now. I actually painted a picture for Dad there's miracles beyond miracles beyond miracles with this thing. It's God's just mind-blowingly exceptional. The part of my brain that got absolutely minced was like art, music, etc., that creative side. And they said basically the one thing you'll never do will be do anything artistic or musical, which are now the two things that I'm flourishing, I suppose, if you would use the word. Going quite well, which is, I mean, just that God's just so good, you know. So I painted this picture of Dad because I was trying to sort of reenact it for Dad a wee bit. And if I can make sure I point to the right box. Oh, hang on. Is that going to start automatically? Oh, I see. Sorry. Yeah, so that's the painting I did for Dad of what it was like when I caught up with Granddad. Except it was weird. The light behind Granddad was like the sun, except it didn't hurt your eyes to look at it, if that makes any sort of sense. But apart from that, it was pretty normal, really. Apart from the fact we didn't see any fish, but it wasn't really looking to be fair. But I'll play it for you now, roughly what it was like. Can I get you guys just to play that, or do I have to do it on here? Well, I'll play into it. I might go. Sorry. pretty much. Oh, there we go. That was pretty much what it was like. And I guess just another wee side note too, because I'm real good at side notes, is just to encourage anyone out there, your life is never too screwed up for God to use, because my life was absolutely stuffed. Every opportunity I had done that God had given me and blessed with, everything he had done good for me, I'd basically just side drafted that and done it my own way and still stuffed everything up in the process. Yet it just shows the goodness of God and how great he is. So just, yeah. So that was that, which is pretty cool. There's been a few moments like that. And then this is another thing. So I got home. I got home from rehab, and like, you need to understand, just, and I wasn't a bad person, but my word, I was right on the cusp. Like, I mean, there's just, you just know, it wouldn't matter what happened, there's no way you would have got me into church. It's just, nah. And I basically got back from rehab, and everyone's saying to me, you know, it's a miracle you're alive, let alone you're still yourself. And I was like, okay, well, that's nice. You're not getting me into church. No way. Nah. And I know it was real weird. Didn't want to notice in that part of the documentary, there was a part there, and I said I was going through a really tough time and the recovery there. It was a very dark place. Basically, yeah, there wasn't a day that went by that I did not want to be here. And it was like this. I didn't realize at the time, but there must have been a bit of a spiritual battle going on, because half me wanted to turn my life around and follow the big fella. And then the other half of me was like, nah, to hell with religion. You know, we're going back to drinking beer and chasing girls and doing all the fun stuff. And nah, church isn't, that's not what we're doing. And so it was this massive battle going on inside of me. And literally there wasn't a day that went by that I didn't want to be here. It was just like, it was real rubbish. It wasn't the go at all. And I was like, oh, I probably should go to church, at least say thanks to God, because he did save my life. So I probably should go say thanks or something. So, and so it was okay. And I thought, I went to a church a few times in high school, actually. More just sort of, cause a couple of hot girls went there from school. So I thought, I'll just go there and say thanks. And then I'll be, you know, get on my merry way. Anyway, I went to this church there, and they talked about, it was the last time to register for this annual conference they were having in Wellington. And at that point in time, I wasn't really well enough to travel, because I didn't know whether I was Martha or Arthur. Anyway, and thankfully, Mum let me go. And she goes, well, you know, who are you heading up there with? And I was like, well, a couple of young guys. She's thinking, so I'm going to send my brain into the son that doesn't know what he did yesterday with a couple of young guys. This isn't sounding real good. Anyway, she let me go up there, which is fantastic. Went up there, and I wasn't sure what was going to happen. I knew something was going to happen, but I just didn't know what that looks like. But I was just in such a dark place. I needed something to happen. And I went up there, and it was through this song one night. They started playing the song. And I mean, I'm not an emotional bloke. I mean, I'm not afraid to cry, but you know, like if someone dies or whatever, I'm not afraid to cry, but it's not really an emotional sort of fella. But anyway, and they started playing the song. And hockin' nui, like, I mean, it was just like someone poured a bucket of water over me. Like I was bawling my eyes out, and it was like, you know, when you get that distraught, you have like snot coming out of your nose. Yeah. I was an absolute mess. And still now to this day, the only real way I can explain it, is it was like, if anyone's here ever been to a gym or lifted a weight, you know, there's that like most straining point if you're doing a squat, for example, and you're coming up and just before you sort of rise up and you're not, your muscles aren't straining to that point. It was like I was walking around with 100 kilos on my shoulders and in that moment, someone just tossed all the weight off me. And in that moment, I knew exactly where I was going, what I was going to do for the rest of my life. And my main goal going forward was going to be rescuing people or trying to help rescue people that were on their way to hell that didn't know they were going there. Because I'm thinking, because from there and then learning going on from there as well after going to heaven, I'm thinking, surely if I've been to heaven, surely there's someone else out there that's been to hell. Anyway, and because I'm thinking, I really want some strong ammunition inside of me so I can be like really bold and just want to share my story, you know. And so I talked to a good cobber of mine, who goes here actually, and he fellowships here. He was speaking over in Europe about, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, and he met a guy like me that should have died but didn't, and the Lord took him to hell and he came back. So they're both very real places. They're both very real, and I'm not going to share his experience with you because it's just not where we're going, but all you need to know is it's real, and that Jesus came here to take the punishment for basically to do what we couldn't. So if you've never been to church before, I'll give you a wee brief outline. Basically, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Everything was perfect because he's perfect, and it was made in his image. So we were made in his image, so we were made perfect as well. And everything was great, everything was amazing. And then Adam and Eve were tricked in the Garden of Eden, and sin was brought into the world. And then from that one act, that separated us from God because he's perfect, and we were now not. So there's no way we can get to heaven. Because I've often heard people say, oh, you know, this person's a good person, they'll get there. If there is a heaven, they'll get there. Well, I'll give you this tip. If you can get to heaven on good works, then our Heavenly Father is cruel for sending Jesus to come to earth and to get slaughtered on a cross for us. And we know he's not, because our Heavenly Father is good and he's only good. So this is the only way you can get to heaven. Heaven is real. Hell is real. It's as simple as that. My question to you is, where are you going? You might have been in a church 10 years ago. You might have given your life to the Lord and you're in Sunday school. You might have prayed the prayer. I've heard that before. You know, I've prayed the prayer. Yeah, if there's a heaven, I'm in. Well, if you've got to just pray a simple prayer and then you're on the gates of heaven, if only life was that easy. And you can't go back to just living your life, because our Heavenly Father says that there are many, not some, there are many that will come to me on Judgment Day and say, Father, Father, and he will say, depart from me because I never knew you, or for he who practiced lawlessness. So are we living in the righteousness of God, and do we know him now, or do we know him, we might have never met him? So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to count to three. And on three, if you've never made a decision to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and not to be serving anything else, but to say, okay, Lord, and this doesn't mean you're never going to make a mistake again. Heck, I'm living proof of that. But it just means that when we make mistakes, we can actually turn around to say to God and say, please, God, forgive me. Going forward, I'm going to try not to make this mistake. Please grace me with your power to help me overcome this in the future, or whatever that looks like, okay? And he's not... For ages there, I don't know, well, just as a young fella, I don't know, I just sort of thought that, you know, God was like, it was like, I sort of had this picture in my head of, here's me standing on the edge of a cliff, and it was like, I sort of had this picture of God standing beside me saying, like, believe in me, or I'll push you into the fire. That was basically the picture in my head. But that was the wrong picture. The picture we need to have in our heads is, we've already slipped, we've already fallen, we barely hang on to the cliff by our fingertips, and Jesus is putting his hand down, reaching out and saying, take my hand, Hayden, and I'll save you. That is the picture we need to have in our heads, not the other one. So if you've never made a decision to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, or you have years ago, but you know you don't currently know him now, so if you died tonight, you would not be waking up in heaven tomorrow, because we go there instantly. Eternity is, obviously, that's a flipping long time. We're only here for 80 to 100 years maximum, so get your affairs in order and think, righto, okay, God, where am I at with you? I'll give you a second right now. You know in your hearts whether you're going to be going to heaven or hell. So, straight down the line with us, because it's more important than what you're going to be doing, what you're going to be having for tea tonight. I'll give you the tip. Okay? So when I count to three, on three, I want you to do something bold, and I want you to stand to your feet if you've never made a decision, or if you just know that you wouldn't be waking up with Jesus tomorrow. It's as simple as that. Okay? One, two, three. Yes, come on. You guys, okay, I'm gonna keep standing. I'm gonna ask you to take that a step further, because there's a few things. The Heavenly Father says if we confess with our mouth and believe with our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and he sent his son to take the punishment for our sin, basically just receiving the gift that he's already given us, then he says on Judgment Day he'll take mercy on us and we'll be saved. So What I'm going to ask you to take it a step further now, I'm going to play the song on my harmonica that set me free at this conference, and I'm going to invite you guys to walk up to the front, and anyone else in this room that you know in your heart that you don't know the Lord, I also encourage you to walk up to the front here as well as I play the song, and then I'll lead you in a short prayer. Anyway, if you want to crank that music up and just start walking up to the front. Yep, all stand. Oh, we could all stand, yeah. Yep. Awesome. Yeah, spot on.
You unravel me with melody. no
love. Okay, I'm just going to lead you guys in a short prayer. It's going to be real simple. All we've got to do is accept. Oh, Paul, yeah, come up here, copper. Come up here, mate. I reckon we could all pray this together to help these brave people up the front. This would be the best decision you guys will ever make in your life. Praise the Lord. For other sayings, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, he says he'll take mercy on us. So, join with me now. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to take the punishment for my sin. A fee that I couldn't pay. I understand that you are perfect, and my sin separates me from you. In this moment, Father, take everything out of me that you don't want in me, and fill me with your Holy Spirit and power. In your name, Father, amen. Awesome. Woohoo! Give him a clap! I'll hand it back over to Pastor Wiz. Anyway, I'll stay with you. Okay.
Stay with me. Okay. Yeah. Hey, God bless you. What's your name?
I'm Jacob's sister.
Jacob's sister. Awesome. What's your name, mate? Rob? Pleased to meet you, Rob. God bless you. These guys are good people. Hang with these people. Yeah. And Paul here. Friend of yours, Daniel? No, you just met, have you?
Oh, you met him this morning.
Brothers from other mothers. Okay. Thank you. Good as gold. Good stuff. Paul, Wes, God bless you, mate. Do you know Peter and Barb as well? Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Excellent. Your second family. That's a good thing to have a second family. Just you may be seated for a moment. I just want to ask Hayden a few more questions. Profound testimony, Hayden. And no doubt there are many, many things you could have added in or said as well. And you asked the Holy Spirit, what were the key things that you were to share this morning? Mm. So you've done really well. And just for a little bit of clarification for people, that experience you had where you were in that around that pond and you were with your granddad.
Yes.
Your granddad had already passed away.
Yes. He died about 10 years ago.
Died about 10 years ago. And so it was, would you say it was a dream or maybe a vision? Something in that arena? Or what do you think it was?
Well, I don't know. I sort of have this feeling it was when I was right on the cusp, when they basically thought I was going to die.
When they thought you were going to die.
Because for ages, as I said, I thought it happened at Laura Ferguson. But I do remember that the very first thing he said to me when he saw me was, what are you doing here?
What are you doing here?
And if someone says that to you in real life now, you go, well, I must be in your place.
Yes, that's exactly right.
You know.
Yeah. So there's a possibility that you actually had died at that point and you met your grandfather in heaven.
Yeah.
Well, you had an out-of-body experience.
Yes.
You were hanging between life and death.
Yes.
And so you saw your granddad. You said he was about 35, which is quite typical when people see loved ones in heaven. They're at a younger age than when they've passed away at 70 or 80.
That's
quite typical.
Yeah.
But he played the violin.
Yes.
And you played your
Amazing Grace, my harmonica.
And before you had the accident, you didn't play Amazing Grace on your harmonica.
Oh, heck no, I was out of that market. It was pretty, mate, sorry to interrupt you. It was pretty hard case. Like the very first song I ever played, do you guys know the song Dirty Old Town? Yeah. It was the very first song I learnt the harmonica from a harmonica teacher about 8 years ago or something. And I could play that song when I couldn't even walk at a pub. I could still play it. No dramas. Woke up out of my coma. I couldn't even get the first note out. Yet I could play Amazing Grace off.
Yeah. No more Dirty Old Town. Yeah. and so in that encounter with your grandfather, and you were in heaven.
Yeah.
Well, we the only, only explanation for it, actually.
Well, and that was amazing. Sorry, it's one thing there, because I, for ages I was actually, I sort of battled with the thing. I was like, do I say I went to heaven or not? Because I was thinking, oh, hang on, there's been a few other heaven stories out there. I'm thinking, oh, I don't want to sort of push the boat out with the bungs out. And I thought, no, wait.
And I've done that one.
And I thought, oh, heck, no, I better not say that. And then I started reading in Scripture, and he, when the Lord created the heavens and the earth, he created the heavens, plural, like it was more than one of them, and the earth, singular. So I'm like, okay, so righto, so that makes more sense.
Yeah, all good, all good. No, you're legal, you're legal, fantastic. You're totally legal. And, but then, so you were sitting on the park bench playing your harmonica, playing Amazing Grace, with your grandfather who was playing his violin, and you were both playing Amazing Grace together. He said, what are you doing here? That was the first. Then we come to the situation where you're in Laura Ferguson, you're in obviously in recovery.
Yes.
And these two young ladies come in to play a song to their auntie or other, some relative.
Yes.
And you end up getting to play with them or play Amazing Grace with them.
Yeah. Well, basically, they came into the clinic because I knew a lady there, although family friends with a lady that had come down from Upper Mootra. She'd been in a serious car accident, so we were there. And one of them had a fiddle. They had two or three other instruments playing. But in my mind, I hadn't heard the fiddle for ages.
Yeah.
And so I, and around that as well, because I used to think that I caught up with Granddad at the pond.
Yeah.
But then people were visiting me every day, and there was never one day that I said I caught up with Granddad yesterday. It was always a memory in my bank from my coma.
Yeah.
And so these girls turned up, and they were playing some songs for us on their instruments, and one of them had a fiddle there. And I said, oh, heck, well, this could be the go. You know, you wouldn't know Amazing Grace on that thing, would you? And he goes, yes. So that's when we played Amazing Grace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it turns out to be the very fiddle that your granddad used to use, and it had his initials on, and his initials on the case.
Yeah, when she turned that over, that blew my socks off.
I mean, and they, you know, that would have just blown your socks off.
Oh, heck.
What an incredible thing that you had that experience in heaven with your granddad playing Amazing Grace on his fiddle.
Yeah.
And then these two girls walk in with his very fiddle, and you end up in Laura Ferguson playing Amazing Grace with them on his fiddle. That's just incredible. But he's not yielded to the Lord yet, remember? He hasn't actually gotten saved yet in that sense. He's saved from dying, but he's not saved in terms of eternal life. And God is doing these things with him to inch him toward receiving Christ as his Lord and Savior. You can see the mercy and the kindness of God in this whole journey.
Yeah.
And so there's other things that happen, I know, that you talked about and that as well, but I won't ask questions on those. But Peter and Barbara, I mean, you know, that first morning in the meeting, the family meeting, when the chief guy came in to talk to the family, I had the privilege of being there. Petey had picked me up at the airport and managed to be there. Stay up here, Hayden. Yeah, don't run away. Obviously, the situation was incredibly serious. In their minds, I don't believe they still expected him to live, maybe. I'm not sure. In their minds. But when that man asked you, and I don't know if you even remember this, because we talked about later, do you believe he can recover? That was the question. And you both immediately responded either absolutely or yes. And I don't know if you remember this little bit, but he said, on that basis, we will do what we can. Something like that. And I'm thinking, this is incredible. Sitting in this family gathering with the specialist, and he asks the parents, do you believe he can recover? Or do you believe he can recover? And to me, it appeared as though his response and his effort would be connected with their believing. I'm thinking, I'm not sure if I just heard that, but I was convinced I did hear it. And so what I want to say is this, to have the privilege as a pastor, but also as friends, to be sitting in that room in this crisis moment, to hear what came out of the parents' mouths. Do you believe he can recover? And absolutely, or yes, absolutely, some words to that effect. And then to see a senior medical person responding basically in line with And that's how it hit me, Peter and Barb. That's how it hit me. I went out of that meeting and getting to see you and with Peter and Barb getting to pray with you that first morning, just going, my goodness, this is astonishing. And a long journey, though. I mean, obviously, it was an incredibly accelerated journey.
Yes.
In terms of what could have been, even if once they knew you were living and alive.
Yes.
The journey of recovery totally astounded them, didn't it?
Yeah.
Totally astounded them, but it was still a long journey, wasn't it? Mm. It was still a long journey, and I know that there must be incredible pressures at times. And the weight, the sense of, you know, just trying to figure out what to do next at times. And sometimes having to deal with people who had just put them in a box, if you like, or put them in a category and thought, there's nothing more to do with them. We can't do anything. But you fighting for them and fighting on his behalf and getting the very best you could out. That was a long journey for you. So we just want to commend you both. We want to really commend you both as mum and as dad. So we've got time. We've got time.
I won't take up time, but I just...
You can take a bit of time.
I just want you to know that...
hold that close to you.
Sorry. When you walk a journey where you know nothing, and I was grateful that I knew nothing medically, and I had no knowledge of charts, the nursing area at all. And my naivety, I believe, protected me because I didn't know anything. I just knew that what they believed was based on their medical diagnosis. And I could not follow, even think about that. And in my mind, I would just take it and I'd park it. And I'd say, God, you will show me because you said you have every answer in heaven. And that you will never leave me nor forsake me. And after we had our discharge from hospital, which was a joke because they didn't take his pulse, they didn't check anything, he wasn't on meds. And it was like, well, you're free to go. And I'm going, huh, what do you mean we're free to go? I'm going home and now I'm responsible. And I stood outside that hospital and I said, I'm not leaving, God. I ain't leaving here because I'm too scared to go home because I don't know what to do. So I stood there and I said, you better show up because I don't have a clue what I'm doing. And I haven't got time to Google. I haven't got time for anything. So we walked down to the boat shed because we used to take Hayden down there when he came out of his coma to help him to get used to day and night, to take him out during the day to help to understand the day and night pattern. And we're sitting in the cafe. Now, he doesn't remember anybody. And this girl walks up to him and she says, oh, g'day, Jaffa. That was his nickname from high school. How are you? And he said, oh, I'm great. Like, he recognized her. That was a miracle. And then she said to me, how are you? And I said, I'm not good. I need help. She was probably early 20s. And I said, we haven't got a clue what I'm doing. And she said, I know who you need. She gave me a phone number of a person. She said, you won't get an appointment, she's too busy. She was the head of OT for Canterbury, and she lectured all around the world. I had her email by that afternoon. I made a phone appointment. You get smart, you make phone appointments when people won't see you. I made a phone appointment, talked with her. She said, I need to come and visit you. Now, that was God. It's God, it's God, it's God, it's God, it's God. And he will bring you. Now, she was not a Christian. I'd stop hunting the market for Christians. God has blessed people with brains and intelligence and put them in places that you will need. And they will be there for you when you need them. So she came and we employed her to help us understand what we needed to know. And she helped me to find a pathway to lead me into all the people. Another one, I was standing at the swimming pool. I had to take him swimming 3 mornings a week. And he was like a naughty 10-year-old. And this woman said to me, she said, what are you trying to do? And it was clearly I was not getting anywhere. And she said, do you know what she said? She said, give him to me. Give him to me and I'll work with him. I come every day. And I will do what needs to be done with that boy. And that led to another person, that led to another person, that led to another person, that led to another person. So don't you ever doubt God. Don't you ever doubt God. Don't you ever accept your diagnosis. I dare you, do not accept your diagnosis. It is not from heaven. It is not from heaven. And I don't care how long I live or how long or whatever. I will not accept the words of man. I will accept the words of God. And only God will rule my body and my mind. When I see what happens when you stand up, when you stand up to a diagnosis, and we had no idea. We had no idea. We had no idea. But we had faith. We had faith. As small as a mustard seed. And look what we get. So we can move a mountain. And this church girded us. This church girded our family. Oh my. Oh my. Your small prayer watered me every day. Your small prayer girded me when I didn't know what to do. And my world was dark. But God is your light. And you don't need a lot of stuff around you and a lot of people, because God will meet you where you are. Right in your circumstances. And you are good enough. You are good enough for every battle you face. You are good enough. You are good enough as a mother, a grandmother, a wife, a friend. You have enough inside of you for every circumstance God will put in your path. So be grateful of the challenges. Be grateful of what God gives you, because He knows you can do it. He never doubts you. Do you know that? He does not doubt you. We do that all by ourselves. So stand up, rise up, be strong in God, and know that we can conquer, because He conquered first, and we only walk in His shadow, in His footsteps.
Amen. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you. Thank you. Bless you, mate. Hello.
Alex, so you want to thank him back? Is your mom my accident on the good Samaritan thing?
Yeah, just stay here. Thank you. No, you're good, man. You're good. No, that's all right. I'm just another bit of a testimony happening here. What was that, Jean-Claude?
It's good to hear what you say, because I have that experience. 1987, on board the Good Samaritan in Florida, I have been electrocuted. I have been 5 days intensive care on the hospital. I was called dead. 480 volts, 260 amps on my body.
480 volts.
Yeah.
How many amps?
280 amps. Yeah. I was welding on the condenser, and he found me dead on the engine room. And like you, but on that time, I was already Christian. I say, God, thank you. You take me home. I'm happy. And God told me, no, your job is not finished. You go back down. I was on heaven too. And I see my good friend could die on his birthday on the side of me with a motorbike accident. I see him on the heaven. And for me, it's good to hear that, because I was not sure if it's real heaven. But hear what you say, I see the same things. I thank God I was here today to listen to that. God bless you.
Thank you, Jean-Claude. So in case you didn't catch all that, because Jean-Claude is French, and sometimes you may not quite catch his accent. He was welding on a ship, mission ship, I believe. Was it one of the YWAM ships? I'm not quite sure. Something went wrong, got 480 volts through him with 200 and something amps through him. He was killed. He was dead. And when he was dead, he went into heaven. They managed, obviously, the medical people, whoever it was, power of God, got him back. Here he is today. How many years you've been in New Zealand now, Jean-Claude? Quite a number. 30-odd. Yeah, since the 80s. And so, I've got two microphones. And so here's the situation, Hayden. Here's another man who died as well. And he's verifying what you saw. he saw his friend who was killed in a motorbike accident. He saw his friend there as well. So, mate, what you experienced was real, okay? Don't doubt it. It was for real. You actually saw your granddad in heaven. Heaven is real, and hell is real as well. So, Father, I just want to thank you for the way you saved Hayden, the way you walked with Barbara and Peter through those next months and years. Father, we just thank you for bringing the resources, the people, the right people onto their pathway to help the ongoing recovery. And Father, we thank you for what has been spoken this morning. We just want to thank you right now. Just let's all stand, and just Father, right now we just want to thank you for your great kindness toward us. Lord, we want to thank you for saving people, Lord, from death and eternal destruction, and Lord, bringing them into a knowledge of you where now they live, not just living as they were, but living in you and living for you and living by you. And Father, we just want to thank you today for people who have received Christ today. I just want to give one more opportunity. There may be somebody here that didn't have the courage or whatever to respond to that first invitation to receive Christ, to receive Jesus. There may be somebody here who still hasn't received Jesus yet, and you know you want to this morning. There may be somebody online, you're watching online, and you know you need to receive Jesus today. So I want to pray with you, and I want to pray with anybody else here that hasn't received Jesus yet, or you've been away from the Lord, you've been out of fellowship, you've been disconnected, and your heart went cold toward the Lord. But I want to say this, that God is drawing you back. Your Heavenly Father is drawing you back because He wants you to be a vital, vital, engaged member of His family. Because He loves you so much. He's got so much life for you, so much hope for you, so much future for you. So if that's you today, how about you lift your hand and just say, Wes, that's me. I want to receive Christ today. Who is it in this section? You need to receive Jesus today. Who is that in this section? Anybody in this section, put your hand up. Anybody in this section here, you need to receive Jesus today. Who is it? What about this section? Anybody in this section, or you're all saved? What about this section? Anybody who needs to receive Jesus today? God bless you. You're making doubly sure. That's awesome. Anybody in this, anybody else in this section? Right, and online, we're going to pray one more time together. Okay, we can do that. Got to pray one more time together. Father, in Jesus' name, I believe that Jesus is your Son, that He came and died on a cross to pay the punishment and to redeem me from the power of sin. I believe that you've forgiven me today, because I've put my trust in Jesus and what He did for me on the cross. I believe that you raised Him from the dead, that He's seated in heaven in Jesus' name. Fill me, Lord. Fill me with your power. Make me part of your family. Thank you for making me your child in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you today. Just turn to somebody and greet them. Shake them by the hand. We've got a bit of fellowship time now. I think there's a cup of tea and maybe a coffee or something, and maybe something else, and hang out for some fellowship. If you need some prayer, you need some ministry, then just turn to somebody that you recognize and know and say, look, would you just pray for me right now? I just need some help with something. Just God bless you. God bless you.